What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 110, and of course, as always, it is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, buy your stuff that way through the affiliate link. Gives us a little money, helps podcasts keep going. You guys know the drill. With me today, as always, because it's his podcast. What's up, Bob?
What's going on, man? That's like a long intro, man. you're having one of your moments.
My moments?
Yeah, Derek has these moments. If you watch some CES videos, Derek has like some moments.
It's okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, man, it's a Sunday, Labor Day weekend. So one, that means it's the end of summer. And two means a lot of people are off work tomorrow, so
yeah,
get some gaming in or something, you know. It's
there you go. You're probably gonna work. It's my
yeah, no, I'm actually going on a boat trip tomorrow.
I got one of those two things.
Yeah, I was gonna go today or tomorrow, and I'm gonna go tomorrow, so
yeah.
So yeah, it's like kind of like the last boat trip of the summer, I would say.
Gotcha.
So pretty excited to do that, but we had to get the podcast in before I go away for a day. So
yeah.
So yeah,
what are we going on this week?
Let's just jump right into it, and we reviewed a graphics card which we haven't reviewed in a long time.
Nice.
And it's a pretty awesome graphics card too. It is the Aorus GeForce GTX 1080 Ti Extreme Edition, and this thing is a boss. It's basically the highest clocked Aorus graphics card. If for some reason you don't know what Aorus is, that is Gigabyte. So all of their high end gaming specific products go by the Aorus name now. And
yeah, relatively new brand.
Yeah, so they started it with motherboards, which we reviewed a few, and they brought it over to graphics cards. And anything that has to do with gaming now, with Gigabyte, as far as like their high end gaming brand, much like Asus's Republic of Gamers, this will be that brand. So this is top of the line, high end, enthusiast gaming products, I would say. And yeah, so this is the Extreme Edition GTX 1080 Ti. And again, super high factory overclock, awesome cooling solution, RGB LEDs in three different places. I mean, what else do you want on this thing beside it being water cooled, really?
All right.
You know, this thing is truly a beast. It's a big card. It's just awesome. If you I know you've had really high end cards, but most of the cards that I've had are like 1070 grade. You know, like right in that good sweet spot, right? So when you get to look at a high end card and really see what it can do, it's just awesome.
It's a fun situation to be in.
Oh yeah, and this is like, you know, right now if you're looking for, as far as consumer grade, when I mean consumer grade, that's under $1,000 graphics card, the 1080 Ti's is where it's at. That's the highest performance. You can go into the what's the high end NVIDIA card? The
Titan, are you talking about?
Yeah, the Titan. So the Titan, but the Titan brings you over that $1,000 mark. So
still
for this
card though, it's not a workstation card or anything.
True, very very true. But I would say that, you know, right now the consumer grade single card right now, the best performing is the 1080 Ti. That's where you're gonna get the best performance. And this one, one of the biggest things I really liked about this was the cooling solution. It's really good. I remember reviewing high-end cards, a couple, you know, last series and the series before, and to cool them, it just, your computer was loud. It was very loud, especially when you were gaming. And this thing is whisper quiet. One, if it is idle, the fans don't run anyways. When they do spin up, they're not loud at all. It's 3 100-millimeter fans, and they're stacked on top of each other. And it just works really, really well. It's a beefy heat sink with copper heat pipes and a full copper plate that covers the GPU as well as all the memory around it. So it's a really great cooling solution and super quiet. I was actually really impressed with how quiet it was. As far as performance, you're going to be able to play 4K 60fps in most titles at high settings. So that this is like your 4K gaming card if that's the route you're going. easily do, you know, around 100 FPS in 1440p and then go down to 1080. This is overkill for 1080. That's the type of thing that you're doing. The only issue that I had is that with the BIOS, and this is well documented, and we have links in our review, is that the BIOS that the card ships with, and it, unless it's like a newer card, like, you know, sometimes they ship newer cards with newer BIOSes, but check your BIOS and make sure you have the latest BIOS, because the first BIOS that I got was very unstable. It just, my system would restart quite often when doing tests, and I wasn't sure what was wrong. And once I updated the BIOS, I had no problem whatsoever. That's just like an extra step. And if you're like new to flashing a graphics card BIOS, it's not something you might feel comfortable with either. But if you're an enthusiast, you know it's like not a big issue. But you know,
yeah. But if there's one thing that's gonna brick your GPU, it's gonna be a firmware update.
Yeah. Luckily, this is dual BIOS card, so if you brick, you can brick one.
You only brick half of it.
You know, but it is a really cool card. The RGB LEDs on this are awesome. That's kind of why we requested this card, because we're doing a full RGB build, and this is going to be part of it. And you can control that via, Aorus has their own graphics card software, which isn't really bad. I don't remember Aorus really having this programming, like this software to change the modes and do all that kind of stuff. Like, I just don't remember even Gigabyte having something like that. So it's actually pretty good software, and the RGB effects are pretty good. The only thing is you can't individually control each section, which is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, that's weird.
I know I'm like nitpicking on RGB stuff, you know,
but
you kind of expect that by now, I would say. But if you do have an Aorus motherboard too, you can control the effects and match them through the motherboard software, which is cool.
One set of software for everything.
Yeah. At least for your Aorus related products, I would say.
Yeah.
So that is nice as well. So this is a great card. The retail is pretty high. It's one of the higher priced 1080 Ti's out there. $769. Let me see if it's still $769 at the end of the week here.
Maybe it is.
It's not even. You can't get it now.
Oh.
It's sold out as we.
As everything is.
As all the graphics cards are, you know, recently. But around $769 is what you're going to get. And they do have a water-cooled version, which we talked about, which is a full water block, and that's $100 more. You know.
But is that a fan-equipped water block, or is it just a standard water block?
It is a standard water block.
Okay, so it's not like a...
Yeah, so it's not like a hybrid card or anything like that.
Gotcha.
But yeah, just a really, really... great card. And one last thing is that it is a 2.5 slot card, so it's something you want to keep in mind when you're doing your build, because it does take up a lot of room inside your system. So yeah, but really cool card, and cool to, you know, review a graphics card I haven't done in a while, so a lot of fun with that.
Nice. Solid review there.
Yes. And another Gigabyte product is the Gigabyte AB350 Gaming 3 motherboard. And this is a motherboard with the B350 chipset, which is the chipset down from X370. So most people, when they're building a Ryzen system, they're thinking X370. But B350 is a really great choice, especially if you're not doing a lot of overclocking and you're using a single graphics card. The big difference between B350 and X370 is the amount of PCI Express lanes. You just get less with B350, but everything else is pretty much the same. You still get USB 3.1 supports and all of the other stuff that you would expect. And you do get overclocking on this chipset as well. So a lot of other chipsets, as you move down from the Enthusiast chipset, you don't get overclocking features. But this one, you still get it. So you can do some mild overclocking with this. And this currently sits as Gigabyte's, in this range, their best B350 motherboard. So it is gaming themed, you know, and you do have some gaming features. You know, you have those the GPU support with the metal shielding around the GPU slots. You do have RGB lighting on this, which is kind of interesting to see on a B350 board as well.
Yeah.
You know, and it does actually have a really good audio solution for a B350 board as well. So they give you kind of like those small little gaming essentials that you would want. It does have a single NVMe or M.2 slot as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what does it have as far as NVMe support? So
yeah, just, so
just
you,
a single.
Just a single. So, like, if you're building a Ryzen system and you're thinking, especially if you're thinking Ryzen 5, you're not going to overclock and you're going to use a single graphics card and maybe, like, a single NVMe drive or even a couple SSDs, this would be the perfect thing, and it's going to save you a lot of money. Just for the fact, like, this board, I believe, is just like $109 or something like that. It is very affordable. Yeah, $109.99. So it is very affordable, and it's a good all around board. Like, it works really well. It has those gaming specific features. You do have overclocking, but you're not going to be able to push a chip as far as you would want, just for the fact that these boards don't have the as good as power delivery components as the X370 boards.
Right.
You know, but again, if you're doing like a budget build or something, this is something that will work great for you. You know, because you're still going to get that same performance that you would get from an X370 minus a few features and a few PCI Express lanes. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a great option. You know, Ryzen 5, Ryzen 3, match with this, you're getting you can build a very low cost gaming rig. You know, and that extra money you can put towards faster memory, a better SSD, or of course a better graphics card. So I always like that as well.
Yeah, especially when it's just not needed.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I need two graphics cards or whatever, you know, something like this where, you know, you're kind of limited to one graphics card, because if you do put in two, they're going to run at X4 speeds and nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm. You know, pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just nice to, it's just, you know, exactly what you need, set your system up and then game on it. It's just not something that you're messing around with, you're just gaming.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a great board and a great option for those looking at, you know, Ryzen 5, Ryzen 3, or even Ryzen 7. You know, it will save you some money. So definitely check out that. And then we have another kind of budget-minded and budget-friendly piece of hardware. It is the Cooler Master Master Set MS-120. And this is a keyboard and mouse combo. So you get the keyboard and mouse together for $89.99. And it is not a mechanical keyboard, but I do really like this keyboard. They've updated their mechanical switches, and they feel, if you would have somebody type on a mechanical keyboard and have somebody type on these, they would say that they're both mechanical, I would say. They actually feel that good, which is surprising, especially compared to the... They had another keyboard and mouse combo that came out last year that had the same switches. This keyboard feels better with the updated switch, and they made them more clicky. So they actually sound like Cherry MX Blues.
Yeah.
Really great lighting effects on this keyboard. And the lighting is actually really, really done well. I mean, it's sad that that's a selling point of a keyboard, but it is a big deal these days. So you have full RGB backlighting with a ton of effects. The mouse is not as impressive as the keyboard. The keyboard really steals the show here. But the mouse is a claw-style mouse. You have an Avago sensor, Omron switches. So you have really good hardware in there. It's just kind of plain and it feels plasticky to me.
Yeah.
But it gets the job done. You know, when I build a system or I'm speccing out a system, my keyboard and my mouse are one of the last things I really think about, you know. But if you're building a brand new system and you don't have previous hardware, these are things you need to run your system, obviously.
Yeah.
And this gives you a really good starting point, especially, like I said, the keyboard. And it's under $100 for both things. You know, if you're doing a mechanical keyboard and any mouse these days, you know, you're looking at least $150, if not more. I mean, some keyboards cost just $150 by themselves. So just a great little combo, and you know, it's cool that Cooler Master is putting something like this out. You know,
just a good starting point.
Yeah, I think it's a real good starting point, and we're giving one away. So,
yeah,
You can definitely enter to win. It's in the review and it's on the site. We're giving one away. Super easy to enter, and there's like 6 or 7 ways you can enter. So definitely check it out. Really, really cool little product. And shout out to Cooler Master for hooking us up with an extra one to give away to you guys. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And this build, I specifically thought you would like, Derek, not for the actual case or anything like that, but for the actual hardware that's inside. this build is called Phase One, and it's by Metallic Acid. We've seen his builds. We've featured his builds before. This build is inside the Inwin H-Frame, and if you don't know what that case is, go ahead and Google it. But that is the... Or not the H-Frame, it's H-Tower, I'm sorry. The H-Tower, and that is the case that's sort of like a transformer, and you press a button and it opens up. Really cool. I think... Was it announced at Computex this year or last year? Last year.
Last year, if not 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been out for a little bit. But this build, the reason I like it is it kind of just... There's a good amount of modding that's been done, but you don't really notice it. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
There's custom panels on this and some you know, some other things and custom water cooling.
Custom lighting.
Yeah. But you don't notice it. That's what I like. It just looks like it's
definitely a showpiece.
Yeah. It looks like it's just part of the product. And this is using the Z270 Maximus 9 Extreme, and that's that $600 Z270 board that has the full mono block on it. And it's the first time I've seen that in a build, which is looks badass.
It looks really good, actually.
And it looks like the mono block color matches the whole build, right? Like it just
does. It's kind of got that. It's almost, well, he uses orange LEDs in this, and since it's orange LEDs over like a steel gray or steel paneling, it kind of gives everything that rose gold look to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
And that actually looks great, especially with that block in there. I really like the cover. He built a shield that goes over top of the Corsair Dominator RAM and smooths it out, which you wouldn't think would be a big deal, but when you if you look at it, it really does a good job of like keeping everything with that just really flat metal surface look, whereas the individual Dominator tops would have kind of broken things up.
I was wondering if you were going to actually see that.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I was like, because I think this is the first time I've seen that.
Yeah, no, I've never seen that, and it looks really good.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. This is also using the same as last week's build, that Poseidon, the ROG Poseidon card. Which
the hybrid with the... Infinity mirror in the front,
So, just a cool thing, and I mean, he's built custom panels on top of the graphics card. He has a custom built panel that covers the bottom part of the motherboard as well. That's not part of the case. I think that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, his metal panel work is really clean.
Yeah, really, really good. I think you have to with this because I've seen builds in this, and they're kind of like, I just don't like them.
If you went with something like acrylic and bent acrylic or whatever and painted it, it would not do the trick, I don't think.
Yeah, so it wouldn't look right. Yeah, this is really good, and this is called Phase One because he's going to be doing a Phase Two where he does like custom etching on the outside panels and some other stuff that he had talked about. So it's going to be exciting to see how this build progresses from this point.
Yeah, that'll actually look really good. One thing I don't like, the Thermaltake pump res combo that he's got. He's using all thermal take parts in this.
Yeah.
And I draw the base of that pump has like the square design in it, and it breaks theme pretty badly.
It does.
To me, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I would have gone with like a Bits Power or something that's just a smoother look to it.
Yeah. So. And like it, see like the top of the reservoir. And even the bottom part of the reservoir, the pump reservoir, it would have been nice if like those pieces were like that chrome, you know?
Yeah, that would have been better as well.
Yeah, that was what I was looking at. But it's just a cool build.
It's a nice clean build. It's probably a very, very expensive build, actually.
Yeah, I forget, the case is like $1,000, is it not?
It's more than that, I would think.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Because it's got, motors and actuators and stuff.
Yeah, like it's a pretty...
It's actually got... But infrared remote control too.
Yeah, that's not on Amazon.
It's not a case. I'm actually not drawn to this case in the slightest.
It would be cool to have. Cool,
but you need like a room with a pedestal, and this is the only thing sitting in that room, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe you have your monitor on the other side of the room, but this would just—it would not work on a desk at all.
It is $1,500.
Yeah.
Just the case.
Yeah, I don't think they sold many of them.
Probably not. These are showpieces. I know a few brands use this case to showcase their products, like at trade shows and things like that.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, this is a piece that people are drawn to for sure.
That's the point of this case is attention. It's not to sell units, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is what Inwin does every year. It's mostly at Computex. Every year at Computex they have a limited edition, special edition case, and I've been a fan of a lot of them.
Yeah. Where they do this for the Sphere, right?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that. That one didn't
It wasn't crazy good. It was Yeah. This was a spectacle when it came out, no doubt. But and I've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it too at CES, and it's kind of clunky to me when you see it in person.
It's not as I really like the S frame,
uh-huh.
and the Tau. How do you say that?
Tau.
The first and second generation Taus I really liked as well as their special editions. So. But it is a really cool build, and I think Metallic Acid did a really great job making this like look nothing out of the ordinary. Made it look real like subtle, or like made it look like you said, like rose gold, like just nice.
Oh yeah, the mod work on this is phenomenal.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. And as I always say, we have a full Case Mod Friday section, so you can check out all of the builds in there. And there's probably 300 maybe more than that. So definitely check all that out, and we will move to news. And this has been an ever-evolving story, is the pricing on the Radeon RX Vega graphics cards. And at the beginning of the week, I'm going to double check pricing right now, but at the beginning of the week the cards were $700 on both Newegg and Amazon. I'm going to check right now if they're still $700, but at the beginning of the week they were $700, which is $200 over the supposed launch price.
It's absurd.
Yeah,
and no one should buy one.
Yeah. So the Radeon MSI's is $919. Sapphire
$919.
Yeah, I'm looking on Amazon. Sapphire's is $779. XFX is $734, Gigabytes $739.
And these are who are the sellers? These are from the manufacturer, or at least a legitimate dealer?
Yep.
That's what's wrong with the market right now.
A liquid cold version, which should be $100 over the $200, I forget. It's either $100, $200 over the price. It's $1,700 on Amazon right now. let's see Newegg. Yeah, that's what I mean. This is just not like cool.
No, it makes zero sense. It's not in like we said last episode. Like, yeah, you're gonna capitalize on this. You're gonna sell a bunch, but you're miners. Okay, yeah,
directly from Newegg. This is not from another, you know, because there's other sellers on Newegg as well. This is direct from Newegg. $699 is the MSI Vega 64.
Okay, yeah.
So $200 over retail from a retailer is just out of control. Like, I don't. There's no, like, I get the third party market forms third-party sellers on Newegg as well as Amazon, right? That makes sense. People are trying to make money. It happens with any new product that comes out that there's a shortage of, right? Yeah. But directly from a retailer, I've never seen this when it comes to PC hardware. I've never seen it.
No, because they're going to alienate their base customers that they need to be around for later, for when this mining craze is gone.
And as we talked about last week, this is not Newegg being like, hey, we're gonna make money off people, right?
Yeah.
They're buying the cards from what we reported last week. They're buying these cards for $675, which means they're making $25 off these cards.
Yeah, they're basically just passing them along.
Yeah. And man, it makes no sense. AMD said that the card's supposed to be $499. Like, it's like they're pointing fingers. The retailers are saying this is what we're paying for it. Like, there's no explanation. this is another thing that hurts the Vega launch, which has already been bad because the performance is just not there. The power consumption is very high, and the temperatures also aren't great.
They're all, you can tell they're AMD cards. I mean,
yeah, I mean, this is not a
standard AMD feature. It's power hungry and too hot.
Yeah, this is not a Ryzen type thing where we were actually impressed, and it was a really good part.
No, they need to stop and rebuild this product line again as well. Yeah. Well, the problem is they recently really did.
Yeah, they took that year off from high end cards.
Yeah, Fury was before that year off, but you know, that was kind of a rebuild, you know, retool kind of deal. You know, like they jumped both feet into the HBM world, and Fury was supposed to do it, didn't do it, and they still haven't managed to deliver it all here.
Yeah. So that's pretty sad on the pricing.
No, I don't think we don't have any news. But did you see that Nvidia is expected to raise prices on the 10 series now?
Really?
Yeah, I saw that an article on that. So thanks a lot, AMD. Suck it.
If you're getting a 10 series card, buy it now.
Yeah, seriously.
That's crazy. I really would. Yeah, I did not see that. I'll have to look up that article.
They have a better performing card, and AMD is selling out like crazy. Yeah. I guess, why wouldn't they?
I did see that they're holding off on Volta because I guess the plan was if these Vega cards outperformed the 10 series, they would launch Vega like next month or something.
You know, right on schedule.
Yeah, like, yeah, normal schedule.
Instead, yeah. they get to skip an entire launch point, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, so now Volta will probably be debuted at CES and launched later in the year or something, you know. Yeah,
if it's debuted at CES.
Yeah, so back to the Vega stuff. It looks like the cards will still be in low supply till at least October, which means this price thing is going to go on. The availability is going to be really bad. Miners are still going to grab them up as it's
Remember how AMD said they were building up a supply so that gamers would be able to get their cards?
Yeah, that's not happening. Well, no, you would be, as a gamer and as an AMD fan, you would be really dumb to buy this card at $700.
Oh, you'd be stupid.
Yeah. The big supply issue seems to be HBM2, which doesn't surprise me at all.
They've had horrible luck with HBM2. The entire time they've been working with it.
Yeah, so that seems to be the problem. We'll see if things clear up in October. I would at least like the pricing to clear up before then, just for the fact that like they want this in the hands of gamers. Like the price should be $700.
I don't think the price will clean up until they have a full supply available. I don't believe that it's always finger pointing. This is somebody being a little bit over aggressive here, taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah. So. One good thing on the Vega front is that now the Vega 56 is out and available.
If you actually have one.
Yeah. The 56 is easier to get. But what's really cool is that somebody was able to flash it with a BIOS from a Vega 64 card.
Yeah.
While the amount of shaders is lower on Vega 56, when you flash it to the higher clock speeds, it performs almost the same.
It's got to be more than just clock speeds, though, right? It's everything else about the firmware, the power delivery and everything, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you get higher power delivery, you get all that kind of stuff.
Oh, and it allows you to go up to those clocks, too. Isn't there a clock limit or something?
So it allows you to hit the higher clocks and deliver more power to hit those higher clocks. And at least in 3D Mark Firestrike, which this was only tested on, the performance numbers are so close. Like, you know, and this is how much is this one?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but this
relatively
is cool.
Cheap, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like 1070 pricing, right around there. This is cool because if this is true, and that performance not only is close in 3D Mark, but it's close in gaming. I mean, a lot of users can buy this, and if they want to try it, they can flash it.
They're out of stock on Newegg.
Of course they are.
They were $400. There's a $650 one if you want it.
But you know, we've seen that the AMD has been the brand that you've been able to do these flashes on.
It's
for the longest time. But what's interesting about this one is that on the card itself, there's technically lower amount of shaders.
Physically the card's different.
Yeah, but even when you flash it to the higher frequencies and how higher power delivery and all that kind of stuff, you get close to the same performance. That begs the question, how bad is the architecture? I mean, yeah, seriously.
That it's not taking advantage of the shaders?
Yeah, like if I can just boost the clocks on this card and it performs, that would be like taking the best 1070 you can buy and comparing it to a 1080 Ti and being like, well, it performs the same. Then why am I paying, you know what I mean? Well,
why on earth would I buy the 1080 Ti if I can just buy a 1070?
Yeah, that's what I mean. What this is kind of like. And that's a little crazy. I'd like to see this gone into a little bit more and see more testing. Yeah. But if it's that close, this architecture is bad.
Very poor. Yeah. I mean, the thing was delayed. You know, maybe they're having issues with the architecture even.
Yeah, I think this is cool, and it's a good one, good PR thing. But if you think about it, it's sort of a bad PR thing too.
It's a really bad PR thing for selling graphics cards, right?
Yeah,
when that's your purpose. But like you said, this has been forever though. You've been able to do I think you could do like 5,000 series cards could be flashed over to 6,000 series cards or something like that.
Yeah, you could do a lot of cool stuff because it was the same chip. It was the same chips on so many. You know, AMD has the thing where they release the same card over and over again and just call it something else.
They're the original recyclers.
Yes. So cool that you could do it. It begs questions about the architecture just for the fact that you're getting the same performance with less shaders. Talking about the mining thing, we're talking a lot about AMD in this episode, so
it's just the way of things lately.
And this is an AMD specific. Inno3D, who does make graphics cards, not the most popular brand, especially in the United States, but they started adding stickers to their retail packaging that says, "Attention, this product is not designed for crypto mining. We reserve the right to void the warranty if there is any damage associated with this application." I think this is just they want to scare off miners. I don't think that this can't be enforced impossible to prove. Two, it can't be enforced in the United States or Europe because Inno3D is based in wherever they're based in. I believe so. Yeah. Two, like you said, they really can't prove that you're mining or you even using a specific type of workload on the card. Like, they can't prove that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
if the card dies, that's the end of what it was working on.
Yeah. I do like this. Just for the fact that it kind of scares some miners, right?
It might create some more inventory.
Yeah, that's why I like it. And I think the reason why Inno3D is doing this is for the fact that so many cards are getting RMA'd right now, just for the fact that people are running these 24/7 in non-standard setups, in cases with bad thermal management.
Bad ventilation.
Yeah.
People that don't really know what they're doing are buying this stuff just to try to cash in.
Yeah.
Like, they're not enthusiasts in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, 100%. That's cool on Inno3D's part. I know they're probably trying to save some money with the RMA issues.
Yeah,
they're
probably getting slammed with RMAs. So.
Yeah, but I like it. I would like more cards to actually have that warning just to kind of scare some people.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. That's the graphics card news for the week. We'll move over to CPU stuff. And we talked about this when Threadripper launched, is that NVMe RAID on X399 platform would not work.
Right.
And that was a big thing because a lot of high-end desktop users want that. That's a big thing.
Yeah, of all the users that you're going to get, I would say probably 90% of the people that are going to RAID stuff with the motherboard are going to be high-end desktop users.
Yep.
Made that number up off the top of my head, but... It's just your gamer is not going to build a RAID array to run, you know, anything, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, so the update will be available September 25th, and it will come in the form of either a F6 install driver, so this would be a driver you install when you're installing Windows, or a motherboard BIOS update. So one of the two, you can do it that way. Good that they fixed it, right?
Yeah. I didn't think it was possible because I thought this was a hardware thing due to the dual nature of the socket, right?
Yeah, that's CPU nature. That's what I thought. So I guess they figured it out, or they're still trying to figure it out because it's kind of a ways away from September 25th.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I guess in a way, though, you could direct the processor to talk with the operating system, right?
Possibly.
To say this is where these are running through. You just gotta. Yeah. It's just gotta know where to, which lanes it's coming through and which processor.
Yeah. So they've given themselves till September 25th to figure it out.
They got 22 days.
You know. So we'll see at the 25th to see if that works.
Hey, you know, if nothing else, AMD's been doing pretty good with drivers and BIOSes and stuff. So.
And customer fixes, right? Like,
yeah.
If there's an issue with something, they've done that, like with the memory issue on Ryzen, like they kept on releasing microcode updates and things to make it work. Yeah. So
did they ever? Good. Oh shoot! I just totally lost what I was gonna ask.
See, guys, see how Derek has those moments. There's one.
Nope, it's gone. Totally.
Okay.
Wow. There was a major issue when they launched Ryzen, and I can't.
I mean, the memory was the big issue.
That was a big thing.
That was the huge compatibility. The platform is very unstable, at least even in my testing, and I got the chip late. I didn't get it right at launch. I got it a couple weeks after, and it was just the platform was very unstable. And we talked about it before we started recording. I had some issues this week, and it's still, as much as, say, people love AMD, I've never had the issues that I've had on any Intel system in the past 4 or 5 years that I've had with Ryzen and AM4 and all that kind of stuff. Just saying.
I think there's a good reason. Oh, first of all, I did remember what I was going to say. But I think there's a good reason for it, though, because you're talking about a company that's built up an entirely new product, essentially, right? This is like ground up new architecture for them. So to have a lot of issues kind of makes sense. This is Intel has been, you know, little fixes for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that their part is more solid. Give AMD a few more years, you know, just go fixing little fixes. That's what it takes. And then I think they'll be more stable. I think when we saw Ryzen launch, we kind of said that this is a good part, but give Ryzen a couple years to mature and then it'll be like the part to buy.
I honestly do agree with that. I can't say it's a bad part. If somebody's asking me to build a system, you could go either way, honestly. It depends on how much money you have and what you're really looking to do. You know what I mean? Because you could build a great Ryzen system. I mean, the system I have here is a good Ryzen system. It's not bad, you know?
I just think you're going to be dealing with little naggles, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, when you, the thing that Intel did is that, you know, especially when it comes to memory, they implemented the XMP profile, stream memory profile, you know, and that's an Intel thing, and that made all memory compatible, and you no longer, I remember the days of getting memory and having to go in the BIOS and set the timings myself. Like, you don't have to do any of that. And you know that if it has an XMP profile, every motherboard, it will work with every motherboard. You know what I mean? It's Ryzen. It's a good part. It like I said, it just
it's
has
good
this
stuff.
Little,
it just needs to mature. That's all.
Yeah, it just has its little things. So.
Oh, it was the gaming, them, you know, saying that it was a BIOS issue as far as their gaming performance from Ryzen. That's what I was thinking of. Remember, they had pretty poor gaming performance.
A lot of the... the thing is it, still the best gaming parts to this day right now is still the 7700K. It's just the best.
Yeah.
That platform, Z270 platform, is the gaming platform.
For now.
At least for now, I'm really excited to see the AM4 Plus or whatever they're going to call it, or Zen Plus, the next generation of Ryzen parts, probably next year. Later in the year, next year, I think we'll see some cool stuff. So
yeah, certainly.
So talk about new chips from AMD. While they released Threadripper 2 weeks, I forget what it was, but a new part just came out, and this is the Threadripper 1900X. And while most Threadripper parts, they started at $799, which is really high to get into high-end desktop, obviously.
Yeah.
This part is $549, and it is an 8-core, 16-thread part. At $549, it's $50 more expensive than the Ryzen 7 1800X, which is the highest Ryzen 7 part. So you're getting quad-core memory. You're getting 64-lane PCI Express for that price, which is really good.
Yeah, it's not a very steep premium at all.
And if you compare it with the chip that I've been testing this week, which is the Intel i7-7820X, that's also an 8-core, 16-thread part for $599. And on paper, this chip has, what are the clocks on this? 3.8 and 4.0. The Intel part is 3.6 and 4.0. It boosts higher. It's 3.6 and 4.3 for the Intel part. Yeah. But the Intel part is only 28-lane PCI Express, which is disappointing, especially on high-end desktop. You know, that's kind of the big thing. And this is $50 cheaper. So it's a good part, and it's a good part to kind of get into AMD high-end desktop. You know, $549, while it is expensive for a chip, that gets you to the highest level of what AMD is offering right now. You know, the X399 chipset and all those motherboards and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, the only thing you're missing out on is threads and cores.
Yeah. So the higher chips obviously have more cores and threads and things like that, but this has everything else. So it's a great starting point, I think, and maybe we'll see something else even come below it.
I wouldn't think so. Not with that Ryzen 7 part. I think that they have a pretty well fleshed out.
Yeah, I think if you go any lower too, you're kind of jeopardize that Ryzen 7 1800X.
Yeah.
You know. So
you can't. You're not going to fit somebody within or some another part within that $50 price
variance. Yeah. There. Yeah. Actually,
not enough wiggle room.
Yeah. So it's cool. Cool to see that, and cool to see that Intel released something and AMD is coming back now, you know, because Intel released Core X series to kind of go like, okay, you had Ryzen, you know, this is what we have, and now AMD is like, well, this is what we have, like, it's not, I like this. You know, so I wish I had one of these so that I could test it directly against this Intel part that I have.
Yeah, do a heads-up test.
Yeah, because they're pretty much, they're very closely, they're the same core, same thread, and they're very close in speed. I can obviously change the speed and make them the exact same speed to see what architecture is actually truly better. That'd be a really cool test. So that is also what was announced this week. And also Ryzen Pro desktops, desktop chips were announced. And these are sort of like the Intel vPro stuff. So if you need silicon-based protections and stuff like that for enterprise and things like that, these were announced. So you'll see a lot of Ryzen Pro based business laptops because Intel has pretty much owned that space.
Absolutely.
Especially with like ThinkPads and things like that. So I don't know if ThinkPad, because that's like a big brand that's always been with Intel, but we'll see some. I don't know. Let me see what they listed at the bottom of this press release. Right. So Lenovo ThinkCenter, HP Elite, Dell Optiplex, all business stuff. Oh, there's a ThinkPad. So ThinkPad A475 and A275 will come out in Q4, so Christmas time. Nice. One thing that a lot of people were talking about with this Ryzen Pro, with this picture, I really don't think that the chip is all black, but how cool would that be?
It would be super cool.
Have an all black
thermally,
chip.
Thermally, I don't know. Physically, it looks, or aesthetically, it looks great.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Like, with the gold lettering? Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, like this could be like the black edition. When did we have... I know there was like black editions of...
Something.
Yeah, there was... I don't know. But that would be cool.
Wasn't it Intel high-end desktop parts?
No, those are extreme editions.
I just swear there was a black...
I don't know. Let's look it up.
What does Google think? It's going to be something really stupid.
No, it was like a good thing. Anyways. Anyways, that's the only reason we're talking about this is because I thought that looked cool. But I really don't think the processors look like that at all.
No, and it's not really even our thing, but
yeah, it looks cool. Yeah, because
I don't think that this, I honestly don't think that this would be. It would, the only way to do it is to paint it, and that's not very thermally.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only reason. But it's cool to see AMD taking these really good parts and really doing the full lineup. You know, we have our enthusiast parts, and we've already gone down Ryzen 7, 5, 3, and we have high-end desktop now, and now we're into enterprise and things like that. So it's really, it's good to see that.
It's great.
You know, so it gives not only us enthusiasts and gamers the choice, but it's giving businesses the choice as well. And I'm sure AMD will be very aggressive on their pricing in that sector too. So yeah. Talking about, this is probably one of the biggest stories for AMD in the past 10 years. While it's not overall sales, this is sales in Germany. One of Germany's biggest online retailer, which I've never heard of because I obviously don't live in Germany. But they call it the new egg of Germany, which is mindfactory.de. That AMD sales have overtaken Intel sales for the first time in over a decade. And this is not only in the units sold, but in revenue as well. So apparently this company, mindfactory.de, makes this data publicly available. What processors are sold, how many units, how much revenue. And one very bored Redditor
somebody that really cares about something like that,
has been putting them into I guess Excel or some graphing program, and has been graphing the progress and how things have progressed, and it shows that when Ryzen launched, AMD had 27.6% of the CPU unit share from mindfactory.de. That's what AMD stuff was selling, blah blah blah. And over the past, you know, since March, you know, April, May, it continually to go up. In July, it was 49%. And then in August, it finally took over Intel with 56% of the unit share. And that doubles the amount of units sold in 6 months.
It's kind of a significant swap. Does that coincide with Threadripper then? I think it does.
I'm trying to think. I mean, if you can look at the best-selling part.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah.
1600 is the best-selling part for them. For AMD, no, it's not necessarily a big jump from Threadripper parts. They actually only have the two.
Yeah, the R7, the R. Yeah, so the 1600. Yeah.
I don't like this graph that much.
Yeah, it's hard to read. Yeah.
7700K is obviously still the best seller for Intel, but it's pretty evenly matched with the R5 1600 from AMD, and then nothing else is really substantial, the 1700, but...
Yeah, so the 1600 and 1700 from AMD, and the thing is that the units, it shows that more people are buying a variety of the Ryzen chips, not just one completely.
Yeah,
a good spread. Yeah, whereas on the Intel side, everybody's buying the 7700K, that's the chip.
Yeah, no one else has a big share at
all. So it shows the Ryzen lineup is very well spread out, right? Which is cool to see.
Firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. And the revenue, same thing. It has gone up gradually. And it shows that while these are selling, they're still very profitable as well. AMD, you know.
Yeah. Which was a question when they launched, whether they could actually sell those parts and make money at that price that they were selling them at. So
yeah. So it looks like it is. Yeah. So this is a huge deal. This is a huge story, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we semi-expected AMD to have to raise prices eventually.
Yeah, so...
Maybe they won't.
Yeah, who knows? So, off of AMD, finally. This is like...
After eight articles.
Yeah, most of the podcast is AMD. A new very entry-level M.2 NVMe controller will be coming out next month. It is the Phison E8. And you're going to see a ton of entry-level SSDs. And by entry-level, we mean like 400 megabytes a second read and write, you know?
Yeah.
Which is about the same thing you would get from an SSD. So why am I going to buy this M.2? One, it takes up less space in a system.
It two, looks way cooler in your computer.
And two, it uses far less power. And the NVMe protocol is much more robust than a typical SATA. So Tom's Hardware is covering this, and they had a reference design Phison SSD, and it's performing really well. And the whole idea, the Phison built this to compete with Intel's 600P solution, which is in so many like laptops and stuff right now.
Yeah.
You know, and without the finalized firmware, which if you spend any time reading about SSDs, firmware makes a huge difference. Without the finalized firmware, it's already outperforming it. So this is, I think we'll see a ton of these entry level drives, which just brings faster, lower power speeds to more people, which I like.
It means faster, cheaper laptops.
Yes. And while it's not going to be a considerable amount of battery gain, you're still going to gain more battery life from this too.
Yeah.
And especially with, this is going to have like low power modes and things like that as well. So it's cool to see, and just expect a lot of these to come out. So if you're thinking about, even if you're a desktop user, if you're thinking about, building a new system, and you're going Z270 or X370 and you have those M.2 spots, but you're like, I can't afford, super high-end NVMe, but these new drives that are going to come out will be very affordable. So,
in the price range that solid states are
right in the price range of like 2.5 inch SSDs.
Yeah.
And there's something cool about just putting in an M.2 if you've never done it before. You're like, it's kind of like installing memory for the first time. You kind of just put it in there, screw it in.
Right into the board. You're good.
Yeah, very, very cool. So you have that. And then finally, talking about storage, SanDisk announced the largest, highest capacity microSD card for use in mobile devices. So they announced their 400 gigabytes SanDisk Ultra microSD XC UHSI card. And what's cool about this is we keep on seeing these go up. But I mean, if you think about this, especially, I'm an iPhone guy, but you are an Android person.
Is there a little limited over there?
Yeah, you can adding 400 gigabytes of storage to your phone or to a tablet is a lot.
Yeah, Bob, how many gigabytes do you have on your iPhone total?
I got 128, bro.
Oh, okay. So I can almost quadruple.
Yeah.
Not really quadruple. Triple. Though.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean that's
plus storage. So.
Yeah, I know. But no, that's really cool. This isn't
it's
really
fast
like
enthused. Too. It's a fast
yeah.
drive too.
Oh yeah, real fast.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah. So especially with all these apps, and apps keep on, like, if you have an iPhone like me and you only have so much space, as apps get bigger and you're waiting for the next generation to come out, you get less and less it's the same on Android. If you haven't upgraded your SD card or whatever, you kind of like, as time progresses, because a lot of people keep phones for like 2 or 3 years, these apps keep on getting, like, I think the Facebook app is like 300 megabytes or something. That's a lot of space when you only, if you're somebody who only has 32 or 64 gigabytes, I mean, that's a lot of space. And this is great too if you have a newer phone that records in 4K. 400 gigabytes
is the biggest thing.
In
large format. Large resolution, I guess, images as well.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
So 400 gigabytes, $249.99.
It's a reasonable price, actually.
Yeah. So they just announced that this week. So
wait for the holidays and watch it go on sale.
Yeah, it would definitely go on sale during the holidays. So. Yeah. So, yeah, cool stuff. That wraps up our news for this week. And then coming next week, as I talked about, I'll be taking a look at Intel's Core i7-7820X. That is their 8-core 16-thread processor. It is MSRP of $599. You can pick it up for like $586 on Amazon. And I'll be telling you all about that. Cool to see. This is our third Core X series processor. So we've taken a look, or, you know, we did the 7740X. This is the 7820X, and we did the i9-7900X. Hopefully they'll send me the $2,000 one too. Maybe.
That's the send me the $2,000 one.
Yeah, I gotta send you next $299 board up there. You know, so we'll have that, and I'm gonna have something else this week. I just haven't figured out which product. Oh wait, I'm also doing I forgot the second product. I will also be taking a look at Zotac's 10-year anniversary Sonics PCI Express 480 gigabyte SSD. This is also an NVMe drive. This is a super fast one. 2800 megabytes a second read, 1500 megabytes a second write. So 2.8 gigabytes a second read, 1.5 gigabytes a second write. And since this is the 10th anniversary edition, there's a Zotac logo on the back, and it's RGB. So this is also going to be part of our RGB build.
Nice.
Yeah, so going to have some super fast speed in that PC as well. As I said, we'll have something else this week. I haven't figured out what's going to be yet. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so. As always, at the end of the podcast, we talked about stuff we've done this week. Anything fun? Did you do anything fun?
Oh, man, tons of fun. I rode my bike a lot. I finished building my new cyclocross bike. I'm super stoked on that. Not our subject here.
I did see that on Facebook.
It's pretty dope.
Nice.
The biggest thing I wanted to mention, though, actually nerd and tech related, I watched a terrible movie. I want to warn people away from. The preface to this, I hate Tom Hanks, so I watched a Tom Hanks movie, so I was going to hate it from the beginning.
The Circle?
The Circle, yeah. But it was garbage, man.
I really didn't like the ending. It just wasn't.
I was like, what's the point of this movie? Is Tom Hanks that afraid of Google? Like.
Yeah.
I think that was the point of the movie. Was it not?
Google or Facebook.
Well, yeah, but like. I just don't see, like, it was presented as this, like, grave threat to society. Yeah. And I don't see it. I just don't see it.
I like the movie for the fact that it brings up certain concerns, but it's not realistic.
That's what I mean. Like, okay, I get it. We need to be concerned about privacy and people overstepping their bounds with stuff. But it's definitely not realistic. It doesn't have that much of a reach. That's the reality. These companies and technology doesn't have that big of a reach.
Not yet.
That's
what they want you to think. It was. I like movies that are based around technology for the most part. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I did enjoy that aspect of it.
Sure.
But it's very far reaching and far fetched.
Yeah.
That's
how I felt about it. I wouldn't watch it. I honestly wouldn't watch it. Not just because I hate Tom Hanks.
You really don't like Tom Hanks?
I don't think he's a good actor.
You didn't like, what's his name?
Didn't like it, whatever you're going to say. Big? Is Big your favorite movie?
That's actually a really good movie.
No, it's terrible.
That's a good movie. No. What's his, like, his most famous movie?
Forrest Gump?
Yeah, that one.
Dude, I'm not down with Forrest Gump.
Oh, man. I like that movie. Maybe because, like, that came out when I was, like, younger, and it's kind of like that. Yeah,
and you're kind of like, you know, like, that character, like,
sure. Right. I can run at least.
So could he.
Oh yeah, true. But anyways, I haven't watched any movies, but one cool thing tech related is that I'm getting into smart home. I was not that I didn't I just wasn't all into it, but now, especially since we have the better integrate, like, you could use these smart home devices, right? And if it's this product, you get their app. If it's this product, you get their app, right?
Yeah.
But now that we have Alexa, Google Home, and the Apple Home...
A central unit to handle everything.
Yeah, we have one thing that will handle everything. And it allows you to group different devices. It allows you to, even if they're from different manufacturers, as long as that manufacturer is supported, blah, blah, blah. Now that that has happened, you can really do some cool stuff with lighting and different appliances and all kinds of stuff. So I got an Alexa Dot, and I have a I got some smart RGB LEDs for my desk, and I've been getting some smart plugs from TP-Link and some lights and some other kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing a whole video and article series on all that kind of stuff. So I just got the Dot in yesterday. I haven't hooked it up yet, but I'm really excited to kind of do that, because that's something, it's tech related, but it's not something we typically do. And I think that it appeals to a lot of people because this is a consumer device. It's not a gaming product or something like that.
Yeah. It's just, and the real thing is that it's finally kind of, out of beta testing. I feel like we've been, consumers have been sort of beta testing those products for the entirety that they've existed up until
Because I remember seeing all the smart home stuff at CES, and it just wasn't, you know,
too early. You adopt that stuff too early, and you're just, you have to be into it as an enthusiast, or it's a headache.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So that's why, like I said, we have these unified systems, whichever one you decide to go with, you know, and the, you know, Amazon, Google, and Apple have really made a big deal to make all of these different products work with their unified system. So I'm excited to take a look at some of that stuff and see what it's all about and see how easy it is. Because like I can build a computer with my eyes closed, you know, but with this stuff, it's a little different. You have to actually like follow directions and, you know, do it the right way.
Learning some new tech.
Yeah. So I'm excited for it. And I'm doing, we talked about building the RGB build, and then we're doing a complete desk makeover, and then complete test bench desk makeover, and then the and then the smart home stuff is going to kind of go into all of that. So I'm pretty pretty excited for all that.
Cool.
So there's gonna be some cool different tech coming, and I'm excited. I'll let you guys know how it goes. If I mess it up, I'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so we'll see. But that, like I said, that brings us to the end here. As I always say, we have a full list of everything that we talked about. So if we're like, check this out, or it's in the article, you can kind of go through and click through and see exactly what we're talking about, or read more or learn more for all of that stuff. And if you're looking to subscribe to the podcast, it's right on the actual podcast page, but you can also just search for us. It's Think Computers, all one word, in your favorite podcasting software, and you'll be able to easily find everything. So until next week. Catch you guys later.